So we are blessed this morning. We talked last week about how God has called us into a brand new culture. And that when we get saved, Ephesians tells us that we go from this position of death to a new position of life. In other words, everything changes. We become new creations in Christ. And yet, sometimes the hardest bit to figure out is the life that we live in, because we still live in the real world. We still live in the same house usually. Usually when you get saved and you give your heart to Jesus, although you're born spiritually on the inside, reborn spiritually on the inside, your address doesn't really change. You drive probably the same car. You go to the same job. You probably still have the same friends. You probably still have the same thoughts, same desires. And so the hard bit sometimes is that, wow, I've changed positions in Christ, but how does my new life look? How does that work itself out? And of course, God brings us on a journey of transformation so that we start to even change the way that we think. But he does that slowly. How many times have we seen people get saved and they still have a few things that's holding on from the old life? But as we pray for them and give them space, then suddenly things start to change and start to knock off them. And the old thoughts that they used to love and used to like, they start to go, you know what, I think I'm going to give that thing up. I think I'm going to get rid of this. I think I'm going to go here instead. Our whole desires, everything starts to change. But there's this transformational process that takes place over time. But sometimes, again, the hard part is that, again, we still live in the real world. And so we can find ourselves maybe looking back instead of looking forward. We can find ourselves still thinking the old ways instead of thinking the new ways that God has intended for our lives. So we are living in a new culture. We're living in a kingdom culture. And we said last week about the disciples and how, if you remember the story, we talked about the story of Peter walking on water, but unfortunately he sank. That was the bad news of the story. But the good news was Jesus saved them. Jesus rescued him. And we said last week how it's so easy to get fixated on Peter and say, well, Peter's that guy who messed it up again. He sank, but thankfully Jesus saved him. But what we want to see is this, is that Jesus changed something that day. Where Peter, I asked for an outrageous question, and God replied and said, okay, come. And that day, Peter actually walked on water. It was incredible. And the thing, what Jesus showed Peter is that in the kingdom of God, everything is different. Nothing is the same. And for us this morning, we need to realize that everything is different in the kingdom of God. And so the way things used to be before don't have to be the way things are today. The way we used to live in the past doesn't have to be the way that we live today or tomorrow, because God is transforming us and God is changing us. And that is good news. Amen? That is good news, because God is changing us and he is transforming us. And so in the space of those 2 days, and we could have taken any 2 days in the Bible, but in the space of those 2 days, what happened was fed the 5,000. Probably one of the greatest miracles they've ever seen and that the world has ever seen even to date. Says 5,000 men got fed, not including women and children. And there was still bucket loads left over. Still 12 baskets left over, because our God is a God of abundance. And then straight after that, they go through the night. They want to go to sleep, but they get stuck on the Sea of Galilee. And the storm comes. They're fearing for their life. They see a ghost. It turns out to be Jesus. And by the end of it, he rescues them all over again. And you think to yourself, at the end of those 2 days, what on earth is God trying to show them? Well, what he's trying to show them is he's trying to mess with them. He's trying to mess with their heads and says, it doesn't matter whether you're seeing an incredible miracle of provision or you're in the midst of the storm. I am with you, and I'm transforming your thinking so that you will never be the same again. And when God saves us, and when we ask Jesus into our lives, God's saying, what's happened to you spiritually, I want it to happen to you up here as well. You know, this part where we do the thinking, where we do the planning. I want your mind to become renewed. I want you to think differently, like you've never thought before. I want you to believe for things like you never believed before. Think about it. Before we were a Christian, you would never really think to believe that God would do this or God would do that, because you didn't believe in him. Then the moment you believe in him, suddenly you're like, wow, mountains can move if you've got faith. Wow, I can pray to God for, and he would give me a house. Wow, this is what our God does. So everything changes. And what the Lord needs to do, what he needs to continuously do in our hearts is continuously transform our minds. Because our minds want to think the old ways, but God says, I've got new thinking for you. And in those 2 days with the disciples, Jesus did more than they could possibly believe. They realized, and they began to realize day after day after day, this Jesus can do anything. We've got to start changing our thinking. We've got to start trusting God in difficult seasons. We've got to start praising God when even when the storm looks bad, because he is greater than the storm. And so this morning, I want us to continue to keep going on the journey, because at that point, when Jesus rescues the disciples, brings them back to dry land, the story keeps going. It doesn't finish. They just keep going and going and going. And Jesus continues to just keep transforming their thinking, keep showing them more, keep showing them this, keep showing them that. He just continues to reveal more and more of the kingdom of God, and they are no longer the same. And so this morning, the question is this, and what we're going to look at is, how do we keep following? How do we keep going after we've maybe had a jolt last week, or maybe after we've got saved, or maybe we've went to an incredible worship thing, or Chrissy was telling me on Friday night he just went down to Open Skies, and God just radically met with them, and he never wants to be the same again. How do we keep following? How do we keep moving? And the answer is found directly with what the disciples did. It's exactly the same today. You keep following Jesus. No matter what you do, just keep following him. If you want to keep going that direction, you keep following Jesus, because he keeps revealing all the next steps. He keeps revealing the next part of the journey. And as they continue to follow Jesus, then everything just kept growing and expanding. And they just kept, wow, he can do this, he can do that. And miracle after miracle after miracle. And all along the way, Jesus is trying to change them so that in 3 years when he leaves, they will never be the same again. And they'll maybe get this feeling just like Peter got. I wonder, could I walk on water too? I wonder, could I pray for the sick and see them healed? I wonder, could I believe for a house and God would give me a house? I wonder, could I believe for a friend of my family to get saved and they would get saved? This is what our faith is about, that we would look to Jesus and go, Jesus, I want to follow you. But in that, Jesus would say, would you believe that you could do the same things as me? And as we keep following him, we'll continue to move forward. As we keep looking to Jesus, as we keep believing that, wow, maybe I could do the same things as Jesus, Jesus will bless us in return, and we'll start to believe, and we'll start to expect, and we'll start to receive all the incredible things that God has planned for our lives. So here's the two choices that we have this morning, just like the disciples have. Do you keep following him? He's crazy. He's going to get us in more storms. He's going to get us in more pickles. He's going to get us around more thousands of people, and he's going to say to us, you feed them. Remember, that's what Jesus said to the disciples. You feed them. Don't send them away. You feed them. And they're like, well, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. Jesus is going to take you into a few hairy spots. He's going to take you to a few difficult situations. He's going to take you to situations you thought, I definitely don't want to be here. But what's the alternative? We drop back, or do we keep following? And that is the decision for all of us this morning. Do we keep believing? I mean, we believe for this building for $45,000. God, give us every penny and more to fix it up. We then dare to believe for another building, $175,000. God, give us all the money. Now we're daring to rebuild it. It's going to be a lot more than that. Do we keep going or do we give up? Do we say, well, I can't cope with anymore. That's as much as I can cope with. Or do we say, Jesus, you're faithful. Maybe you're trying to stir me for more. Maybe you're saying, keep following me, keep following me, keep following me. And church, this morning I want to remind us that we stir up our faith, of course, but it's faith that God has given us. And we have to have the energy to follow him, but he does the heavy lifting. He does the hard work. In fact, the Bible tells us we do everything in his strength. So the adventure maybe starts to get more risky, but don't worry, God is increasing your faith all along the while. And so the two choices of this morning is this. Do we keep moving forward? Do we keep following? Or do we decide to drop back? That is the two options, and hopefully this morning we decide, you know what, even though Peter sinks, even though we have sank at times, even though we've been through many battles, Jesus rescued him, I'm going to keep going too. Jesus rescues me, I'm going to keep going. Because here's the good news of Jesus. As we follow him and we get ourselves into to sticky places that we don't want to be in, he is able to rescue us. He is able to raise us up. He is able to transform us. And in fact, he might use every pit and every difficult circumstance to make us to the person that he needs us to be for the destination that he is bringing us to. And so God says, keep following me. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Don't look to the right or the left, but keep following me. Here's a truth that Jesus gives to the disciples right after the storm. It says this in verse 33, and those in the boat said to him, truly you are the Son of God. It says right there in the middle, those in the boat worshipped him, and they said, truly you are the Son of God. Matthew 14, verse 33. It says right after the storm, once everything has ceased, then what do the disciples do? They just turn around and they start to worship Jesus because they know an incredible truth is that this story is not about me or you. This story is about him. And this is a really important reality and a big one that we need to gather ourselves with this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal in our hearts. Up until you got saved, the world all revolved around you. It was just your world and what's people going to give me and what's people going to do for me and will I be able to get a new car soon and will people give me a pay rise and will enough people smile at me? It's all about me. And then when we come to Jesus, unfortunately, here he turns that around and he says, it's all about me instead. It's not about you. It's about me. Jesus comes to live in our hearts. He comes to transform our lives. And maybe we look at that and think, well, that doesn't seem very fair. But Jesus is incredible. He is worthy of our praise. But as we worship him, he will support us. He will bring us along. And here's such a key thing that God wants to reveal to us, hidden right at the end of the story, after the 5,000, after the storm, after the waves, after they have been saved. In verse 33, they turn around and they worship him. See, why is this so important? Because if it's all about us, when we begin to feel and we begin to sink, you know what we start to consider? Maybe I should just give up. I knew I wasn't good enough. The battles have proven that I'm not good enough. I can't pass the test. I would be safer give up. And that's the way it looks. But God this morning says if you'll shift your focus from yourself to him, then you'll not look at yourself when things go to fail. You'll look to Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You'll be less focused on the failure and you'll be more focused on the rescue job that Jesus has done in your life. You'll be more focused on Jesus can bring me through. Wow, Jesus has saved me from the waters. Wow, he's been able to pull me up from the depths of despair. Wow, look what the Lord has done. Our focus comes off ourselves and our focus goes on to him. And this is an important lesson that the Lord needs to teach us this morning because as we follow after God, if we're following for ourselves, we're going to sink very quickly and we'll sink without a trace and we'll turn around to everybody that wants to hear and say, that Christian thing didn't work for me. That Christian thing was too hard for me. The money was too much. The sinking was too great. There was no way back when I got myself down. There was just no way back. But Peter realized one thing. This story is all about Jesus. He was the one that asked me to come. I asked a bold question. Fair enough. We play our part. But he said, come. It was him that turned the water to concrete. It was him that allowed me to walk on water. And when I began to sink, it was him that saved me. And so this morning, church, we need to know right from the beginning, it's Jesus that's going to make the difference in our lives. Transfer the focus from us to him and watch how we'll be able to continue to walk through those storms. Because instead of thinking, what about me? And will I make this again? And will I be able to get through? We won't even think that. We'll turn right and we'll say, but Jesus is able to bring me through. And so a vital principle that we need to learn this morning is that those in the boat worshipped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. When we recognize who he is, we begin to worship. When we recognize who he is, we begin to worship even after the most difficult storm that we've ever come through. We don't start saying, but Lord, why did I have to go through that? Wow, that was a close shave. Wow, Lord, I hope you don't bring me through that ever again. No, we just start worshiping, saying, Jesus, you truly are the Son of God. Wow, Jesus, you are my rescuer. Wow, Jesus, you are my Savior. Trust me, it will do you the world of good. It will transform your heart. It will continuously renew your mind. And it will continue to press yourself down and lift Jesus up because we need to know he is the center of the story. He is the one that is transforming our lives. We want to give our best to him. We want to keep our focus on him. We want to worship him. And worship is vital for the journey of life. And this morning, just to remind us before we move on, it's vital for two things. It keeps our focus on Jesus and it keeps our focus off ourselves. We keep worshiping even in the midst of despair. We keep worshiping even in the midst of the storm because he is able to do things. Could you imagine this morning if we had read instead of what Peter does there, instead of worshiping, we read that my life is always about sinking. My life's never going anywhere. In fact, I feel like I'm always making mistakes. You know what? I'm just going to give up. Peter may never become the man that God needed him to become. But because he didn't take the focus on himself and he kept giving the worship and he kept giving the praise and he kept putting the focus on to Jesus, everything changed. Everything was turned around. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, try to get the focus of ourselves. Ask Jesus to help you. And as you do, you'll be able to walk through things that you thought you'd never be able to walk through because even when you feel, you know God is bringing you through. When you succeed, you know God is bringing you through. And so a lesson this morning is this, is that Jesus is greater than me. We know that, but we need to ask him to reveal that more and more in our lives. And so just like Peter, and just like us this morning, God wants to take us on an adventure, and God wants to continue to reveal to us that salvation was not the end. Salvation is just the beginning of the journey. Salvation is what made us brand new, but now we want to keep walking. Salvation is the thing that transformed us, but now I want to keep going. I want to keep believing. I want to keep thinking for incredible things. You see, before we maybe thought this and we maybe thought that and we worried about, will I get this and will I get that? And then suddenly we get saved and we start to wonder, wow, could God use me to change the world? This is the thoughts that start to spring up in our hearts and in our minds. I wonder, could God use me to change the world? And this is exactly what God wants us to think. And then the devil comes and the storms come and life comes. And then we think, I would just be happy if I could just change my bed. You know, it gets so low. We just think, change the world. No, I just want to be able to change my bed or change this or change that. And God says this morning, I want to raise you up again because I'm a good God and I'm a God of many chances. And I'm a God who's able to forgive and I'm a God who's able to resurrect and I'm a God who's able to lift you up. And so wherever we find ourselves this morning, know this, salvation was not the end for you. Salvation was just the beginning. And there is so much more that he wants to walk us into. Allow God to help you. Allow at times God to carry you. Allow God to sustain you. Allow him to be your source. Life is too difficult on your own. And so this morning, we don't want to go back to normal, whatever normal was. We want the supernatural to become our normal. We want to look at the pages of the Bible and we want to say, God, help me to be like that. Help me to live like that. Help me to live an adventure like that. Whether I work in a factory or I work in car sales or I go to university, help me to live a life of adventure like that. And those are the words that God is dying to hear. And as soon as he hears them, he says, okay, just like Moses, here I am, send me. Just like David, okay, I'm ready to go. Just like the mighty men and women of the Bible gone past, whenever we present ourselves, God is able to do. And we come just the way that we are, and he transforms us, and he changes us, and he does incredible things in our lives. Here's some keys for the new kingdom. The new kingdom is this. We've got to know our direction. We've got to know our direction, because if you're going to go places and you're going to follow Jesus, then you've got to know the direction. And so to follow him, you've got to ask Jesus. You've got to say, Jesus, what is the direction for my life? Jesus is the one who's going to mark our direction. So number one, I've got to know the direction of where God is bringing me. I've got to know the direction, and Jesus is the one who's going to give me the direction. But to get the direction, I've got to know the Father, just like Jesus did. I've got to know the instructions. I need to know the instructions, otherwise I'm going to make mistakes. Has anyone ever done this before? You've had something to build, and you think, I'll check the instructions later. You build the whole thing, and then you find a piece that needed to go in at the start, and you've got to start over. It's what happens. The girls got a trampoline at the beginning of the summer. I said, this thing's easy. I can build a trampoline easy. I built it upside down. The whole thing had to be taken apart. I had to start over. We need to know the instructions. Otherwise, we do the wrong things. And this morning, yes, we read the word, but we need to know the Father's voice. Because otherwise, the word becomes dry and it becomes mundane. Imagine that. The word of God can become dry and mundane and ritualistic and just something that we have to do instead of something that we draw life from. Because we need to know that the Father's voice is all over the word. And we need to know the Father's voice so that he will direct us and guide us. And so this morning, I need to know the instructions. Otherwise, I'll go the wrong way. Even building a simple trampoline, you think there's no way to get that thing wrong. I got it wrong. And then I read the instructions, like, oh my goodness. It was so simple if I'd have read the instructions. But what do? We do it all the time. Nah, you know what? Too busy to pray or read today. I'm just going to fly. Too busy to pray or read today for months. I'm just going to fly because God's got me on an amazing journey. I've got to pray with somebody. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Now, again, we don't want to make those things as like something that we must do. But sometimes we got to discipline ourselves and say, hey, I actually need to read these instructions because they'll be for my benefit. Otherwise, it's going to take me twice as long. Jesus over and over and over again exercised his want and his desire to get alone with his heavenly Father. He just loved his heavenly Father. He just loved to know his voice. It wasn't these barking out instruction things. It wasn't like, oh, he's going to tell me stuff I don't want to do. He's actually going to help me. He's actually going to guide me. And so for us to walk in this new kingdom that God has given us, we need to follow the direction of Jesus, do the things that he did, and start to believe that. But we need to know the Father's voice. And of course, if we're going to do it, then we're going to need strength, which involves the Holy Spirit. Because he comes like that one who stands beside us, and he strengthens us, and he equips us, and he opens our eyes, and he transforms us, and he changes us, and he starts us to think different ways. He starts us to talk different ways. In fact, he says, I want to come and overflood and overflow your life. And one of the things that has transformed me the most, the number one thing, is just recognize that the Holy Spirit is not just for salvation, but he's a friend who wants to walk with us each and every day. That he's a friend that actually wants to consume our lives. The Bible tells us that whenever the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he comes into our hearts. And then it's like there's these trickles that are just coming from our bellies. It's just like, you know, we just feel the power of God. We just feel him. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to just come and consume us. We got to give him permission to do that because he's a gentleman. And he comes just like in the book of Acts chapter 2 and all the way through Acts, just get poured out and poured out. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you because my life is full of worry. Even though I'm saved, my life is full of worry. It's full of nerves. It's full of fear. All of these things just wanted to cripple me from doing the things that God had called me to do. And so they just wanted to have dominion over my life. And then the Lord said, you know what you need? You need the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit control of your life. That's simply it. Give the Holy Spirit control of your life. Ask him to come and fill you. Ask him to come and flood you. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you more than I need the fear. I need you more than I want to be bound up by the fear and the nerves and the anxiety and the worry. And he just came like this incredible flood. And he transformed my life. And suddenly I was like, wow, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because he is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, wow, it's like I have this confidence, I have this boldness. Suddenly, wow, I'm able to step up here, I'm able to go there, I'm able to talk, I'm able to move. And then suddenly, wow, he starts to give me his heart. And then I start to pray with people, and it's like he gives me these words for people that I could never know, but he starts to reveal them on my heart because the Holy Spirit is always here to strengthen us. He's always here to equip us. He's always here to love through us. And this morning, we might know the Father, we might know Jesus' direction, we might know the Father's voice, but maybe we're missing the power and the strength and the friendship and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is something that we need in our lives because it will radically, radically transform us. Is that something you've got yet? Acts chapter 8, I read it this week. It said that the disciples were just moving all through the cities. They were bringing joy everywhere they went. And then they just kept meeting these guys and said, hey, have you got filled with the Spirit yet? Have you come to know the baptism of the Spirit yet? And they were like, John's baptism? And they were like, no, not salvation, but there's more. There's more in God. There's Holy Spirit that wants to come and just flood you and fill you and transform you and consume you. And in that moment, they're like, no, we haven't. And Holy Spirit would come, and then suddenly their lives would never be the same again and again and again. And maybe this is a dryness. Maybe this is a dryness in your life. You know you're saved. But maybe this is a dryness in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to come, and he wants to flood you with incredible things of the kingdom of God. And, of course, the fourth thing is this. What's next? We go and do all the things that he's directed us, told us, and empowered us to do. We live in this new kingdom. We live in this new culture. I want us to read Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 this morning. I want to read these two or three verses together. It says this, when they crossed over. Now you would think, this is what we typically do. After you've had the craziest day before, and then you've just had the craziest night, Jesus, give us a holiday. He's like, no, we've got more people to bless. We've got more adventure to go on. We've got more things to do. It says, when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, and they brought to him all who were sick. And they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. It's just like everywhere we follow Jesus, signs and wonders are going to follow. Normal life is not going to happen. When you go to B&Q, you're going to see people saved. When you go to Argus to pick something up, you're going to bring somebody back to church. This is what's going to happen when we start to live out the kingdom of God in our lives. Impact is going to happen. It's like everywhere we go, we're going to impact. Everywhere we go, people are going to just touch us and go, whoa, what just happened? And you're like, well, it's the presence and power of God on my life. Something has taken place. It's like they would touch the hem of his garment and they were getting healed. This is crazy because the presence and the power was all over Jesus' life. This is the new normal that God wants to shake into us this morning. And I believe it's no coincidence in Acts chapter 2 he began to shake the building because he knew he'd have to shake the building first to get the people to shake next. And this morning God has to shake us in our boots that we would believe that we can do the things that he has called us to do because there's a broken, battered, bruised, beat up world that he has called us to come and love. And as we do, we will see transformation. But God says this morning, I need to raise up my church because my church has got bruised. My church has got battered. My church has got abused. and they're afraid to go for this, and they're afraid to go for that, and they're scared of this, and they're scared of that. And God says, no more. I want you to know who you are, and as you know who you are, you're going to step out, and as people come in contact with you, you're going to radically transform and change their lives. And so that's what God is requesting, and that's what God is asking us this morning. Could we be part of these men and women that would be ready to step up and say, yes, I know that there's issues going on in my life, but God is for me. Who can be against me? I know that there's many things that I need to learn, but it doesn't matter. I've got a teachable heart, and God is teaching me all the time. But there's a broken, battered, bruised world out there who don't even know Christ, and I do. So I'm going to go with the power of the Holy Spirit, and through His help and with His guidance and with His strength, I am going to bring change to the world around me. You see, when we live for anything less than that, we get bored and we get fed up. Anybody get bored and fed up? Anybody like a rest, but after a couple of days thinking, I want to go again? Anybody enjoy I Heart Armagh because we're just go, go, go? Or like going on a missions trip because we're go, go, go? And then we come back to normal like, oh, is this just normal life again? And God says, no, I don't want you to just go for 1 week. I want you to learn all you need to learn in that 1 week and then multiply it through to the rest of the weeks because I've got so much more for you. We were meant to live on the edge of our seat. This is the way God planned it. We were meant to live on the edge of faith. We were meant to believe. We were meant to step out and risk all of the time because we know that our God is with us. And when it looks more exciting out there than it does here, or it looks more exciting in somebody else's heart that it's not even a believer, then we need to look in the mirror and say, God, you need to do something radical inside of me. Because there's nothing more radical than a Christian on fire for God. The things that you're going to do will be incredible. Allow the Lord to stir your heart this morning. And what is Jesus trying to show us through these words this morning? Absolutely, he wants to grab our hearts. But he's trying to show again and again and again, I am the God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. I am the God who's able to do incredible things. It says that even if they touched the hem of his garment, he was able to heal. No ordinary man is able to do that. Only a man filled with the presence of God. Only a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Only a man who is hard after God. Only a man who knows God and is able to extend the kingdom of God through himself or woman through himself to the rest of the world around us. And God is trying to teach the disciples something greater. He's trying to show them just like he did in the boat, just like he did with feeding the 5,000, there is more for you. This is not just a one-man mission, and then when I die, everything stops. This is me trying to teach you to think differently. This is me trying to show you a new way so that when I go, you continue to go. When I go, you just continue to believe. When I leave, you just continue to move. When I go, you just continue to do great things for the kingdom of God. And so God has called us, and he has equipped us, and so all we have to do is step into the things that God has called us. Now, what is the biggest danger that's going to stop us and prevent us? Is comfort. Is comfort. Man, I would just love to sit at home and just watch TV every night in the comfort of my home and never be cold and, you know, have perfect temperature and be perfectly just nice all the time, have chili heat wave Doritos, I don't know, whatever the things are that you love. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to get bored. We're going to get fed up. Because after a while, you know what we're going to complain? There's nothing on the TV. Just nothing on the TV. And then when we get Sky Sports, we're going to complain like it's the most expensive it's ever been. This is crazy. I can't believe I'm paying for this thing. Oh, we're going to get Netflix. We're going to get all these extra things to try and satisfy us and try to comfort us. And we're going to try to make ourselves, our lives just more and more comfy. And you know what? By the end of it, we're going to end up fed up and dissatisfied and wanting some adventure. And then before you know it, we're thinking, let's go and do dodgy things like take drugs or whatever. I don't know. But God says, no, don't get yourself in that position. Shake yourself and know that you were made for the kingdom of God. You were made for adventure. Do you know what? We were made sometimes to sit up all night with someone just because we want to love them and want to show care for them. We were made to actually go out in the middle of the night and rescue someone because that's just what we're designed to be like. We were made to like sometimes take days off work just to go and be a blessing to something else for free. Because that's what we were made to do. This is actually what we're made to do. It makes no earthly sense, but it's kingdom sense. It just makes no sense. We're meant to come to church and give everything we've got to the people of God. Because in return, we'll be blessed. It makes no sense, but I tell you what, this is living now when you start to do that stuff. I want to give everything I have to the kingdom of God. Because if I'm empty, it means he's going to come and fill me. If I am empty, it means that he's going to come and fill me. I want it to be less about me because I understand this principle in the kingdom. The last will be first. I want to be the least because the least will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus taught us. This is what Jesus is trying to show us. And at this moment in time, if we're not careful, we just fall into the trap of, I've got to be king of my world. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. And we go round and round in circles, and we end up bored and frustrated and envious of other people and the adventures that they're living. You know, sometimes we find it because when we go on social media and we see someone on holiday, we're just jealous of it because we want that. And God says this morning, maybe we need to look at some other people and we got to go, I want what they have. Not with a jealousy that says, I want to take everything they've got, but with a hunger that says, I want to go for this thing. I want to get passionate. I want to get a zeal. I want to get a fire in my belly that's going to transform me so I'll never be the same again. And maybe you're here this morning or this afternoon and you're thinking to yourself, I kind of need that, but I'm not sure how to get that. I think I need that, but I'm worried about, have I got it? Again, don't worry, you're not it. Jesus is it. He will supply you. He will sustain you. He will resource you. He will help you. See, the truth about comfort is you will stay safe. You will stay warm. The sofa is a nice place, but a greater truth is you'll get bored, you'll get lonely, you'll get fed up. We've got to step out, but only you can decide to do that. Only you can be the one that says, I'm going to step from the safe zone to the faith zone, and I'm going to ask God to do risky things in my life. What about your life? We read earlier, the disciples, in 2 days, everything changed. They were never the same again. I want to look at 4 quick things, and then we're going to be finished. Number one, if we're going to follow after Jesus, and we've made a decision this morning, we're saying, right, okay, I want to go after the kingdom of God. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow after you. Number one, we've got to recognize this. The little things count. The little things count. We think it doesn't matter about certain things like, oh, I don't need to help here. Don't need to pray for that. Don't need to read here. Nobody will know this. Nobody will know that. The little things count because the thing that sustains you is the presence of God, is your heart. You cannot fool your heart. You cannot fool your heart when it comes to service. If it's not there, you won't serve. If it's not in you, you won't do it. The little things count. Those behind the scenes things, those things that nobody knows about. What's going to give you the greatest strength is that you have the greatest quiet time, that you have the greatest secret time, that you have the greatest alone times with the Lord. What gave Jesus the greatest strength? It was his alone times with the Lord. Here's the thing. Your heart is tender. You've got to protect it. You cannot fake it. Your heart is a real thing. It is a real thing. And so this morning, we've got to be careful of the little things, like the voices that speak into our lives. Maybe your own voice is one of those. You got to get rid of it if it's no good. Speak against it and just ask the Lord to cleanse your mind and to speak different thoughts over yourself if you're speaking negative thoughts, because your voice counts for a lot, and your voice will dictate a lot of the times where we go and what we do. The little things count. What about the voices? What about the distractions? What about the influences? What about the friends? And what about the environment that you're in? What about the environment? Those little things that make all the difference that will cause you to grow or to not grow. I was listening to something. We're going up to Newcastle yesterday to meet the tribe guys, all the teen guys, for an ice cream. It was last night of the heavens. But as we went, we kept Nuggaletta in front of us. That was the goal. That was the eyes of the prize, you know. We thought, I'm going to get a Nuggie pot. If you've never had one, you need to get one. They're going to transform your life. But they are amazing. And as we were going, then something came on the radio, on Spirit Radio. And it was fun. It was really interesting. You know, they give these kind of fun thoughts, and some of them are good, and some of them you're like, oh, we'll just forget that. But this one was a good one. And it came out with this, and it says, hey, would a farmer ever grow a plant? And then when the plant doesn't grow well, would the farmer ever go, oh, you good-for-nothing useless plant? He would never do that. He would go, I wonder, was the soil right? He would question the weather. Oh, that weather just wasn't good enough. I'm going to have to try to get something fixed up for that. He would question whether, did I put enough nutrients in the soil? You know, did I do my best job? In other words, he never fixates on the plant whatsoever. He concentrates on the environment. He concentrates because he realizes that has a big bearing. That has many more influences. That has many more elements than the plant does. The plant simply just needs to grow. But it can't grow unless it's in the right environment, has the right stuff, has the right supply. Is it warm enough? Is there enough light? Is it protected enough from the elements? Is the soil rich enough? Is there enough things around it for it to grow? And I think this morning, this is important for us to know. The little things count. The voices that we say against ourselves, the voices that are coming against us, those times when we make mistakes, there is no good in us standing in the mirror and criticizing ourselves and condemning ourselves. We can use wisdom and evaluation, but more importantly, we need to start saying, God, help me, because maybe there's an environment change that needs to happen. Maybe there's this needs to happen or that needs to happen, and God will enable us and God will help us. But number one, the little things do count. Number two, and we're going to move fast, is that the number one voice that we need to listen to is God. You see, this is the thing that grabbed my heart this week, is the voice that dominated Jesus' life the most was the Father's voice. Imagine if God's voice was the most dominant voice in our lives. Wow. Imagine if it wasn't social media. Imagine if it wasn't the one that we loved. Imagine if it wasn't emails and work. Imagine if the most dominant voice in our lives was the Father's voice. That would transform us completely. Church, this morning, I want to just encourage you. Think of the Father's voice. Has anyone ever had like a prophetic word before? Anyone just spoke a prophetic word over your life? How did that feel? How did that transform you? I believe this. Every prophetic word is God's voice from heaven to speak to our hearts, to reveal to us afresh how much He loves us. How much He loves us. So think about this. If the Father's voice dominates your life, you're going to feel incredible, because He's going to speak words at the right time and the right season every single time of your life. When someone comes who loves you and encourages you and always speaks life into your life and they speak something to you, does it not always transform you? Imagine knowing the Father's voice more than any other voice. My goodness, the confidence it would give you, the boldness it would give you to keep believing, to keep walking forward, to keep dreaming, to keep being excited, to keep praying, it would be incredible. What is the most dominant voice in your life? I want to encourage you, get alone with God. You cannot fake that alone time with God. You've got to determine in your life, I want to spend time with Him. You can't muster it up when you need it. It's either there or it's not. And I want to encourage you, get alone with God and allow Him to enrich you. Allow His voice to dominate your life. Allow Him to come and transform you, because His voice is so sweet. His voice is incredible. Can we stand together? We're going to pray this morning.